It is time now to check in with Pam Perry. She's a retired non-game wildlife biologist from the Brainerd Lakes area. Today, not just birds that we're talking to you about. Pam, welcome. Thanks for being here again.
Good morning, Heidi, and good morning, John.
Morning, Pam.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this time of year.
Isn't there? Yeah, every trip outside, it's just one more thing after another. Just amazing.
It is. And I wanted to start off by mentioning bears because within the last 2 weeks or so, there's been a lot of bear activity here on the south end of Brainerd, what I call my neighborhood. And I looked out one day during the day, and there was a bear just outside my fence. I have a chain link fence in the backyard, and standing up, it was a medium-sized bear looking in, and I went, that's not good. And because I have bird feeders, yes. So brought them all in. Then 2 days later, I look out, and at the other side of the fence, there was a bear again during the day, late afternoon. And I'm going, oh, that one's bigger. That's a big bear. And starting to come over the fence, and I start yelling, and of course then the bear takes off, and I run out the back door yelling. You know, I don't let them hang around. I don't want them there. And so the bear goes over, decides not to come in. It's kind of up and then changes its mind, big bear. And then I hear a bunch of scrambling around in some bushes, and there's a cub.
Oh my.
Yeah, in the fence.
Oh, inside. Oh, no.
And I went, oh, no, this isn't good, because the most dangerous bears are mama bears with their cubs.
Yep.
But the cub went, I yelled at the cub too, and the cub went over the fence, and they were gone. And I thought, because I have a little dog. I don't want, and, you know, so I haven't had my bird feeders out really for the last couple of weeks, and just starting to put some seed back out and watching. But there must be a lack of food for them right at that time, at the end of May. Hmm. You know, it must be a gap time. And I don't know enough about bears, because they eat a variety of different things.
Yes, they do.
But they have to be hungry to come into backyards like that during the day.
Yep. Yeah, that's a big, I mean, they recognize the threat. And the interesting thing about black bears, and I just about everybody I've talked to who spent time in the woods, is that if you're on foot walking in the woods, you seldom see a bear. They know you're coming. They smell you. They hear you. They see you, and they're gone. They just don't want to be around you. Yeah. It's really rare for me. I think twice, maybe, on foot, walking in the woods, that I have seen bears, and only for an instant. It's just like, oh, that was large and black. I think that might have been a bear.
You know? Yeah, and I have spent so much time in the woods, too. And you don't see them. But I do remember one time at Rice Lake National Wildlife Refuge, and it was a birding trip in May. And all the bird watchers were looking up in the trees and looking all around. And I happened to look down the road, and there was a bear crossing. You know, went into the woods and wanted nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
And was gone. So, yeah. The other thing I've been seeing is it's fawn season. The does are having their fawns. And I noticed this was about a week ago. I had a doe down by my barn in the corral, because we used to have horses. And so there's tall grass there. And this doe was acting strangely. It was the middle of the day. And you know how deer usually walk along and they nibble as they go?
Right.
They take a bite here. They take a bite there. Well, she wasn't eating. And she was listening and looking head up. And then she'd put her head down and take a step, look, and do all this. And I thought, well, that's odd. because she's not eating. What is she doing? And then I looked at her and I thought, nah, she doesn't look like she's going to drop a fawn because she didn't look bad enough. And because I have seen that past years.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Right out in my pasture, straight out like this. And then I thought, oh, maybe she already dropped it. And sure enough, she went a little further, circled around, and up pops the tiniest fawn head.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a little ears. No, just tiny. And she must have just had it the day before or something.
Wow.
And had hidden it in the grass by my barn. I thought that was pretty cool. That's fun. That's... So I saw him two more times. So she, I don't know how long she hid it there. I didn't go down there to investigate. I don't want to bother him. But it is the season for the little fawns to be out, and it's really fun to see them when they're so small.
Oh yeah, they're so gawky.
gawky and small.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they grow pretty quickly. So I watched as she nursed the fawn, and then she licked it a lot all over. And so I've seen them three times there doing that.
Amazing.
And that was really fun, too.
Yeah.
So I wanted to share that with our listeners.
Yeah,
just
thank you.
Be aware.
Yeah. Watch. You know, that I think that the really interesting point that you make is that you're watching the animal and you're watching its behavior. And oftentimes that's what I try to get kids to do, is to watch behavior. So like you see a deer. Well, yeah, I've seen deer before. I've seen lots of deer. But watch their behavior. What are they doing now? And how does that relate? And I think that's really clever of you to watch that deer and notice that she wasn't feeding. And so what other thing might she be doing that would relate to this? I was out with my dog on a walk the other day, and a grouse got up and it flew about 25 feet. And right away I knew there was little baby grouse right around me somewhere. And the dog saw the grouse and took off after it. And I called the dog back and beat it out of there really quickly because I didn't want it mouthing up a bunch of little baby grouse.
Yeah.
Behavior
is so important.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you watch, whether it's mammals or birds or whatever, watch the behavior, and you'll go, oh yeah, I can see what they're doing. This is normal behavior. And then if they do something else, that's when you start paying attention.
Yeah.
And you really look closely.
Yeah. Good advice for anyone. You're out there. Watch things. Look at things.
Watch things.
Yeah.
And which is what you teach people and you teach kids all the time.
Well,
I also noticed in the first kids report this morning, the first thing that the boy mentioned was mosquitoes.
Oh, there are a few.
And John, in your report, you said they were fierce. And I totally agree. With all this rain, we have mosquitoes all over. I mean, they're just, unless you're in a town, in, you know, the main part of town, if you're out in the country, out in the woods, you're out somewhere, oh man, the mosquitoes are there. And
they're there.
So I wanted to say a few things about mosquitoes, a little bit about the biology, because I had a friend who's not a biologist, and she goes, so what good are they? What use are they anyways? And, you know, I've had people ask me, give me that kind of question about all sorts of things over the years. And for me as a biologist and ecologist, you know, to me, everything's connected.
Right.
Everything is a part of the web of all the living things. But so it did make me think about mosquitoes. And here's a few facts. We have 51 different species in Minnesota.
Wow.
I think that's impressive because I tend to think of mosquitoes as the small ones and the big ones. And the small ones are the Aedes, A-E-D-E-S. That's the genus. And they're the ones that come in really quick and bite you right away. And then the Culex are the bigger ones that hover. And anyways, but we have 51 different species. Only the females bite. The males live on plant juice. And the females bite because they need the protein and the nutrition to lay eggs. And they will lay about 300 eggs or so, depending on the species, at a time. And they can lay eggs every 3 weeks. So, and what triggers them? Water. And I was looking at the Metropolitan Mosquito Control site, and they said for every inch of rain we get another hatch out of mosquitoes.
Wow.
And last year was a really easy year.
Oh, my. Yeah, they were
non-existent. We didn't have much for mosquitoes at all. It was so dry.
Yeah.
This year is the other extreme where they are at. You rattle a bush when you're walking through the woods or something, you got them out, you know, and if there's not a wind, they're on you right away.
Yes, they are. Now you worked right away. You worked outside all of your professional career, and I had a conversation with John Allmendinger the other day, and we are both outside guys, and you either, as John said, you know, if your job takes you outside, you either work or you swat mosquitoes. But you don't do both. So you either deal with them by ignoring them or wearing head nets. What did you do? Mm-hmm. What was your method?
Mostly ignoring them and making sure my arms were covered up.
Yep.
You know, a
loose clothing
shirt.
Yep. I'm
some kind of hat.
Yep.
Maybe a little bit of repellent. I'm not fond of the chemicals, but I will use a little bit. You know, if they're really bad, then you go to the head net. And I do have a head net. In fact, I have a full bug suit.
Yeah.
If they're that bad. You can't work and write down notes and pay attention to what you're doing if you're constantly swatting mosquitoes. And, you know, when I lived in Florida when I was in right after graduate school, I did some work with the state herpetologist on crocodiles, and we were in a canoe down in the salt marshes of southern Florida, and the salt marsh mosquitoes will rival ours.
Hmm.
They can be really, really bad, and I'd be holding a hatchling crocodile and have 50 mosquitoes buzzing around me. And, you know, you have to pay attention to what you're doing and not the mosquitoes.
Yeah, the crocodile bite's a lot worse than a mosquito bite.
Well, yeah, these were little ones. We put little rubber bands around their snouts, and they were okay.
Now, tell me, I was under the misapprehension, apparently, that the large reptile of Florida was alligator, not crocodile. Are they both there?
Are both there.
Okay.
Alligators are primarily freshwater, and crocodiles are saltwater.
Okay. I had no
saltwater
idea.
Saltwater and brackish. And in the brackish areas where it mixes, you can sometimes get both, but the alligators really stay towards the freshwater.
Okay, well.
So we were down in the Keys doing that work.
Nice. And there were mosquitoes there. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep, what they call salt marsh mosquitoes.
When I lived in Texas many, many, many years ago, and I would go down to the coast, there were mosquitoes there that were very fast, very small, and you would see one, it would buzz by you, and you would it would too quick to swat, and you would be like, oh, okay, whatever. And then the next thing you know, it would be biting you. You know, they just were a different kind. I must be used to Culex, because they come in and you just crush them, you know. It's like they just come in, land, and you swat them. These were not that kind.
No, different kind. And yeah, that's kind of like what was in Florida too.
So
with that. So Now, there's a bunch of critters that eat mosquitoes, going back to the ecological. What use are they? Certainly bats do. Dragonflies do. Some species of birds, and purple martins are overhyped for it. They like bigger insects, really, but swallows and warblers will eat a lot of, you know, because they are eating very small insects, mm-hmm. whatever they can find. Frogs and toads and spiders and fish. So there's a lot of things that eat mosquitoes. And one more note on their biology is that, you know, they lay the eggs in water. They have to have water. And then you've got about 10 days of the wiggler phase where they're in the water. And then they come out to be our wonderful state insect.
They come out to, they come out to feed all of those animals you mentioned. And we're grateful yep. for that. Because warblers and frogs and toads and fish and all of those are fine companions.
They are.
It's too bad their food source is such an insistent bloodsucker.
Oh, yes. Oh, and I wanted to make a note about Charlie Mitchell had mentioned in the Season Watch newsletter. She was asking people what calendar they use for the seasons or something like that. And I wanted to add that I use the Minnesota Ornithologists Union calendar for how I think of seasons because I follow birds so closely. And of course, they're all about birds. So for the Ornithologists Union, summer is only June and July.
Hmm.
That's the nesting season.
Yep.
Migration starts in August. So fall is August, September, October, November. That's all migration, fall migration. Winter, December, January, February. And then spring starts in March because migration starts March, April, May. Yeah.
Nice. I break it. That yeah. breaks it out pretty nice.
I just wanted to add that for everyone who reads the Season Watch newsletter.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's a nice note. Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. And we didn't get much of a chance to talk about birds nesting, but I have been hearing ovenbirds and red-eyed vireos. Both of them have interesting nests. I checked. My neighbor has a brown thrasher nest that he discovered, and he checked it the day before yesterday, and there were babies in it. And I stopped by to chat with him yesterday, and we went over to look, and they were gone. They had fledged.
It's quick.
Yeah.
Yep. We're right in the thick of nesting season, and in my boxes, I have bluebird boxes, and with bluebirds, and chickadees, and wrens, and then I know that all the rest, the ovenbirds, the phoebes, the robins, everything. We're just right in the thick of it right now.
Yeah.
Lots of eggs, lots of babies.
I saw Mother Bluebird poking her head in the nesting box, not going in, just she'd go out, catch a bug, come back, put her head in, feed somebody, back out, off she'd go.
Back out.
Catch another. It's a
go
pretty,
find more bugs.
It's a pretty yep. steady motion. The eagle doesn't feed like that. The eagle is more like, I'll bring you a rabbit pretty soon, but in the meantime, just wait. And the little baby mm-hmm. eagle is up there squawking and crying. And
I know you've talked about them squawking, and I've yeah. heard eagles, nestlings.
Yeah.
They get big, and they'll make a lot of noise yeah. and bang almost constantly.
Yeah, well, what predator would crawl up there to try and eat it and come away unscathed, you know? You think that some small predator comes into that nest, the eagle's just going to be like, oh, live food, I like that.
Live food, oh, I'll just grab you.
Yeah,
give
that's
it,
right.
Give it to the youngster.
Yep. Indeed. Well, thanks again, Pam. Always a pleasure to chat with you. I look forward to next month when we will chat again, and that will sort of mark the end of the singing season for birds. We'll come to the end of the song season.
It's getting there. It will definitely be tapering off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been fun. Great. Get outdoors, slap a few mosquitoes, and watch what's going on.
Indeed. Keep an eye out. Thanks, Pam.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.